We've been learning a lot about standing against Satan over these past several weeks, and rightfully so. The reason why is because that's what the Apostle Paul admonished us to do in his letter to the Ephesians. And that is, he told us that we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our battle, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against what the Bible calls principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is, we're engaged in real spiritual warfare, real spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. And so for that reason, we need to have on spiritual armor, the whole armor of God, the Bible says, so that we might better withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, standing against Satan. You and I learned that when Peter was writing, he also, in agreement with Paul, told us that we're in real spiritual battle. And that is that we need to be sober and vigilant. And the reason why is because we have an adversary, the devil, who's like a roaring lion. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. And that we need to resist him. That is the idea of standing against the enemy like an army, standing against the opposing army and continuing to move ahead. That is standing against Satan. I've said to you in these messages that there are two aspects to this standing. There is, first of all, understanding. And that is understanding the devices of the devil, like Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 2:11 when he was writing to the believers there about forgiving a man who had offended the church and had been disciplined by the church. And the reason why he said they need to do that is so lest Satan should get an advantage of us, because he said that we are not ignorant of his devices. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul had an understanding about the devices of the devil. And just as Paul understood a little bit about the devices of the devil, if you and I are going to be victorious in spiritual warfare, we need to have that same kind of understanding. It's for that reason that I spent some time with you over the last few weeks. I spent some time just dealing with the devices of the devil. That is, you and I spent some time talking about his seduction, how he seduces. We talked about the suffering that he causes and about the scheming that he does and the snares that he lays and the strategies that he uses. That is, talking about getting an understanding of the devices of the devil. There's a second aspect to standing against Satan. Not only is there this understanding, but there is also what the Bible calls withstanding. That's a word that Paul uses in Ephesians 6:13 that I read to you just a few moments ago, where Paul tells us that we need to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. That is, in having done all, to stand. The idea of withstanding, ladies and gentlemen, comes from a Greek word that is also translated resist in our Bibles. That is, just like Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, when he told us we have this adversary, the devil, who's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, and the Bible says whom resist in verse number 9. That word resist is the same in the original language as the word withstand. And again, it's talking about those that are standing up against the enemy. And they're not going to stop standing. And that is going to keep on standing. Just like James wrote about when he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you in James 4:7. Ladies and gentlemen, even so, you and I need to resist, or we need to stand against, or we need to withstand the dangers of the devil. If the devil is like a roaring lion, walking around seeking whom he may devour, then we would say that the devil is dangerous. And if we are going to be able to stand against Satan, then we need to withstand the dangers of the devil. And withstanding the dangers of the devil means I'm not going to yield to his seduction. It means that I'm not going to bow down and give up under his suffering. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm not going to fall for his schemes. It means I'm not going to step into his snares. It means that I'm not going to allow in and permit his strategies to be worked out in my life, that I'm going to stand against that, withstanding and resisting what it is that the devil is doing, the devices of the devil and the dangers of the devil. Now, the Bible gives us some insight about how to withstand. That is, you and I don't know how to do that of ourselves, but the Bible gives us some direction, some insight, some essentials when it comes to being able to withstand the dangers of the devil. We don't have that ability within ourselves, but our Savior, the victorious Lord, has provided that for us. and has taught us how to withstand in the evil day. I said to you in the past few services, that one of the essentials in withstanding the dangers of the devil is submission. James tells us that. And that is, James tells us in James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we know from that verse that one of the things that is essential to resisting the devil so that he flees, ladies and gentlemen, is submission to God. And you and I got to get surrendered and or submitted to him. And you and I looked at several aspects of that submission. And then as I preached to you a little bit about submission to the Son of God, that is me receiving him as Lord, that is conversion to Christ, and about coming to Christ when in the time of temptation and struggle and battle, come boldly to his throne of grace, and you'll find grace to help in that time of need. And so there's submission to the Son of God. I began to preach to you a little bit about submission to the will of God. That is, when the Bible says submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, then James must have had in mind for us not only submission to the Son of God, but submission to the will of God. That is, surrender to whatever God's will is for our life. Surrendering our bodies to the will of God, Romans 12:1. Surrendering our minds to the will of God, Romans 12:2. That is, getting surrendered to God's will for our lives. Submission not only to the Son of God and to the will of God, but I spent some time Sunday night preaching about submission to the Word of God. And that is that God has revealed himself to us in his Word. And ladies and gentlemen, it is without a doubt, and I'll probably preach a little bit more about it later on in another message, but it is without a doubt that the Word of God is essential whenever it comes to this spiritual warfare that we're in. It is our sword, Ephesians 6:17. It is our sword. It is the sword of the Spirit dealing with the whole armor of God. That is, the Word of God is. It is the sword that Jesus used when he himself was under satanic attack in the wilderness in Matthew 4. Every time he was tempted, he rebuked the devil with a quote from Old Testament Scripture. Finally, after three times, the devil fled from him. He resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that just as our Lord rebuked the devil with the Word of God, even so, if you and I are going to be able to resist the devil, withstand the evils of the devil, then we also need to have a relationship with the Word of God. And that relationship means that I know what the Word of God is. It means that I understand what the Word of God says and that I'm surrendering myself to this book. It's not enough for you and I just to quote the Bible. We need to be submissive to the Word of God, surrendering ourselves to the authority of this book. Obeying what the Bible says, surrendering our life to this book. What this book says is the authority of my life. The one who is an authority in my life is the Word of God. And recognizing that authority, instead of rebelling against the Word of God, submitting ourselves to it. Let me just say it this way, and I've got to move on. And that is, rebellion against the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, opens up the door wide open to the enemy's attack in our life. And so for that reason, I better know what this book says. And I better surrender myself to it. That is what the Word of God reveals in all the areas of my life. Whatever the book says, I need to come under the authority of that book. And that provides for me an umbrella of protection against the attacks of the enemy. Well, the very first thing that you and I need to understand about withstanding the dangers of the devil, one of the essentials, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed submission. Now, there's a second essential that I need to preach to you a little bit about for a few moments, and that is, not only is submission essential when it comes to withstanding or resisting the devil, but steadfastness is also an essential. When it comes to withstanding or resisting the devil, we must learn a little bit about what it means to be steadfast. That's what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 5. You're going to remember I've quoted this verse already a couple of times in the moments that we've already had together. But listen to it again one more time. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Whom resist? That is the devil. The one who's walking around like a roaring lion, that is the dangerous enemy, ladies and gentlemen, that's trying to destroy you and trying to destroy me. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's looking for an opportunity to be able to invade your life, to be able to trip you up. That is to be able to scheme. He's scheming against you, trying to lead you and tempt you and seduce you down a road that leads to suffering. That is, the devil is. But the Bible says that you and I must resist him. That is, we have to withstand against him. But the next phrase says this, whom resist steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. And then he says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If you and I are going to be able to resist or withstand the dangers of the devil, then we better learn a little bit about what it is that Peter's writing about when he writes about being steadfast. This idea of steadfastness seems to be essential when it comes to resisting or standing against the devil. When it comes to withstanding the dangers of the devil, you better get your feet planted on the solid rock. You better get yourself fastened down, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because the relentless attacks of the enemy are looking for you to just be leaning, they're looking for a way to be able to blow you away. The Bible talks about these winds, as Paul was writing about in the book of Philippians. He talks about the winds of doctrine that blow, and that is the evil teachings of the evil one that are trying to blow you off course. That is like a boat that is sailing on the ocean, there are winds that are blowing against you. Like a house in the middle of a storm, you had to be on a good foundation. The idea of steadfastness means that you are fastened to something that is rock solid, so that when the enemy begins to attack, that you're not going to be blown away by it, by the attacks of the enemy. That you're not going to be destroyed by him. He's trying to destroy you. But listen to me now. If you're not going to be destroyed, but you're going to continue to stand in the evil day, then you better make sure that your life, your soul, that you're anchored down, that you are steadfast. That's what the Bible is telling us here. The word steadfast is the idea of standing firm. Standing firm. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting to me a little bit anyway, and that is the Greek word translated steadfast here, ladies and gentlemen, is the word stereos, as in the word stereo that you and I would use today, which means solid. It means balanced at both ends. Something that's in stereo is balanced at both ends. And that's the idea here, and that is that this is somebody that is solid at both ends. Balanced at both ends, is standing firm. And the idea is, in this context, is talking about those who are standing firm, that are not backing up. They are steadfast. They are anchored to something that's going to hold them in place so they can continue to stand. Now, the Bible gives us here some information about how we can become steadfast so that we'll be able to withstand the dangers of the devil. The little phrase that is used here in 1 Peter 5:9 is steadfast in the faith. How we become steadfast, the Bible tells us here, is by being anchored to the faith, by having our feet planted in the faith. Now, when the Bible talks here about the faith, here's what it's referring to in this context. It's referring to the truth that we have been taught. That is the truth that you and I have believed that came from the apostles and from the prophets and that's preserved for us in the pages of the Scripture. Being steadfast in the faith not only means that we believe in the Lord Jesus and have received Him as Lord of our life, but it means that you and I have an understanding of what it is that the apostles and the prophets taught and as it has been preserved for us in the pages of Scripture. That's the faith. That we understand the truth and that we believe it and that we are standing on it. And that truth, ladies and gentlemen, that's revealed by the prophets, by our Lord, by the apostles, we believe that it's been preserved for us in the very pages of the Word of God, and that is the Scripture. That is, this book reveals to us what is referred to here as the faith. It's the faith that has been revealed in the Scriptures and that has been taught to you. That is taught to you by the apostles. That is when your Sunday school teacher or your pastor or an evangelist, whenever they open up this book and they teach it, That is, they teach it in its context and apply it accurately to our lives, then you and I are hearing the truth about the faith. Now, we have to be wise, don't we? And the reason why is because not everybody's teaching the truth. And there are those who take the Bible and they begin to twist it and turn it and begin to teach things that don't line up with the Word of God as it is in its context. So you and I have to be diligent that what we are hearing lines up with the Word of God. But when we are hearing what lines up with this book, with the context of Scripture, with a right application to our life, ladies and gentlemen, then you and I are beginning to grow in the faith and understand the faith. We've got a class here at our church going on right now entitled The Baptist Faith and Message. And what that means is what's being taught is it what it is what Baptists believe that the Word of God teaches. And that's what it is. That's what it is that you and I are anchored to. That is this truth that has been handed down to us and accepted by us. It's not something we made up. It's not something, listen, if somebody comes along and says, I found a brand new truth in the Bible, just go ahead and put a big something on their name to just as a warning sign. This truth has been handed down to us by the prophets of old and by the apostles and by our Lord Himself as preserved here in the Bible. This is truth that has been handed down to us through the centuries, ladies and gentlemen. That is the faith, what it is that we have believed that has come from the Word of God. Now, the Bible is indicating to us here that if we're going to be able to resist the enemy, withstand the dangers of the enemy, then we need to be standing firm in this truth that's been revealed to us. That is that we need to have our lives, ladies and gentlemen, anchored to the Word of God. That is to the truth that's being revealed in this book. Here's what I don't mean by that. I don't mean that you need to tie yourself up to a Bible. In other words, you need to start wearing the Bible for your shoes. And that is, instead of wearing shoes, you just get a Bible and get some string and tie the Bible up and stand on the Word of God. You could stand on a Bible, literally stand on a Bible, and still not be steadfast in the faith. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, we're talking about us studying the Word of God so that we find out what this book means. We read it to find out what it says. We study it to find out what it means. And then we believe it and we stand on it. And that is that we accept it, we believe it, we stand on it. And that means that we keep on believing this book no matter what. And that is when the evil day comes and the devil begins to throw all of his arrows at us, that we're just going to stand on the Word of God and we're not going to change. When the culture changes, we're not. You say, Pastor, you got to get with the times. Well, there's a few areas in which I do get with the times. What I mean is I'm not still driving the old car that I drove years ago. What I mean is I'm not wearing the same old clothes that I wore years ago with an exception or two. So I've gotten with the times. I've even got a phone hanging on my belt. I've got with the times. But ladies and gentlemen, as the culture moves in the wrong direction, I just can't move there. And I know that many of you are not as well. There are things that I cannot accept. And the reason why I can't is because they are completely contrary to the Word of God. There are belief systems that are completely contrary to Scripture that I will never be able to move towards. The reason why is because I've been planted on the truth of Scripture and will not and cannot be moved away from what the Bible clearly reveals. Amen. That's what it means to stand firm in the faith. Now listen, those of you that stand on the Word of God, you'll come under attack and the devil will launch his attacks against you from various different angles. But listen, those who are steadfast or withstand the dangers of the devil, they continue to stand on the faith that has been handed down to us. They continue to believe it and stand on it no matter why? We got to be steadfast. Standing firm, but being steadfast in the faith, first of all, means comprehending the faith, doesn't it? It means I'm going to have to understand what it is. If you don't understand what the faith is, and that is the truth that's been handed down to us from the prophets and the apostles as preserved in Scripture, if you and I don't understand what the Scriptures are, we don't understand what the faith is, then we'll never be able to stand on it. You won't know where to stand. You won't know how to be steadfast until you, first of all, understand or have a comprehension of what the faith is. That's why it is that Peter writes to us about that. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, before he ever says to stand on the faith, he encourages those who are church leaders. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He's encouraging the elders in the churches to feed the flock. That is, he's using the idea of sheep that need to be fed, and they're the shepherds to feed them. And the idea is that God's people need to feed on the Word of God. And those who are elders or overseers in the life of the church, ladies and gentlemen, are the ones who have the responsibility of feeding the flock, that is, teaching the Word of God. Listen, that is the primary responsibility of the overseers or elders, or what are referred to as pastors or teachers in the life of the church, to make sure that we are understanding the Word of God. We are not here just as an entertainment center. We are not a religious entertainment center at Eastern Gate. Y'all know that, don't you? You say, Pastor, I'd like to have a lot more fun. Well, sure, you would. But listen to me now. Our primary purpose is to get you anchored in the Word of God, so you've got a solid foundation for your life. Because when the fun is over and it ends in everybody's life at some point, when the fun is over, if you don't have a foundation in your life, listen to me now, you're not going to be standing. So our primary purpose is to teach, to preach, to communicate this book so you understand it, so that you have an accurate interpretation and a proper application of what this book says. All of us need that in our life. That is, we need to understand this truth. The Bible says right here in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Like a little baby desires milk so that it can grow, even so, ladies and gentlemen, even so us, to desire after, to have an attitude of consuming the Word of God, that I want to know this book, and the reason why is because that's how I grow in the faith, so I can be steadfast in the faith. Now, I've got a little grandson, as you all know, and he's not very old, just a few weeks old, but I've noticed something about him like I've noticed in some of the other little babies around here. I've noticed his little cheeks are getting pretty fat. And he's starting to get some fat on his legs and becoming what I would just call a little roly-poly. And we've got some others around here that are the same way. I mean, they already are. And some that are headed that way, and some right here among us tonight. And that is that they're getting... One of these days, you know what those little rascals are going to do? They're going to be standing up on their feet. Now, right now, he can't do that. He's on his way to one day being able to stand up on his feet. Nobody helping him, standing on his own. Right now, you got to hold him and you got to feed him and you got to burp him and do all of those wonderful things that mamas like to do and all of that. And listen, one of these days, he's going to start crawling around, and one of these days, they're going to hold him up and stand him on his feet. But listen, there's coming a day when he's going to be able to stand on his own. The reason why is because of the fact that he's been doing some eating. He's growing. And as he grows, he'll get to that point like the other little ones as well. Now listen, that's true of us as well. And that is that since God saved you, he has given you a word to feed on. That like a baby desires the Word, you need to desire the Word of God so that you might grow. And the purpose of growing in the Word, ladies and gentlemen, is so that you might understand the faith, what it is that's been handed down to us by the prophets and the apostles, so that you might be able to stand. So that you can stand on your own. And so that you might help somebody else stand up. So you can take the Word of God that you've learned and teach it to somebody else that's just now learning and trying to grow. Some of you ought to be teaching others what it is that God's been showing you so they can grow in the Word. It might be little ones that just need to know that God loves them and God created the world. Listen, little ones that know that God created the world are smarter and wiser than some of the seminary professors in our elite universities. You know that. And the reason why they are is because somebody's been teaching them. Somebody's been teaching children, and somebody teaches the youth, and people teach the adults so that we can grow in the Word. Well, you're getting the point, aren't you? So that people can stand up on their feet. That is, so that they can stand against the wiles of the devil. So they can be steadfast. So when the devil comes along, they'll say, no thanks. So when that best friend that they have, ladies and gentlemen, is trying to lure them down a road that they shouldn't go down, they'll say, no, I can't go down that road, whether you're my friend or not, I can't do it. They've learned how to stand. So that when those times of discouragement and suffering comes in your life, you're not going to throw in the towel. You're going to keep living for God. You're not going to give in to suffering. You're not going to go down the road of seduction. When you see the snare of the enemy, I'm not stepping in it. What I'm trying to say is learning how to stand steadfast. You got to be steadfast, standing in the faith. And that means I'm trying to comprehend or understand or grow in the faith. But listen to me now. It not only means comprehending the faith, but standing firm in the faith means I'm going to continue in the faith. I know what the faith, I'm teaching the Word of God. I understand what it is that's been handed down to us, but now I'm going to continue in it. I'm not going to back away from it. I'm going to continue in the faith. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Paul writes about him when he writes to Timothy about the continuing in the faith. Listen to what he writes. In the book of 1 Timothy, for example, chapter 4 and verse number 1, he writes this, now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You say, what's the devil up to? He's trying to lure you away from the faith. That is the devil's demons, the seduction of the devil. The doctrines or teachings of demons are highlighted for us here, and the purpose is to seduce you down a road that is a departure from the faith, from what God has revealed to us in His Word. That's what He's up to. So you and I need to get our feet planted in the faith, and we need to continue in the faith and not allow the enemy to seduce us to depart from the faith. When Paul was writing in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he mentioned this again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 15, he writes this. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast. And that word stand fast is like being steadfast. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He's telling them to stand fast in what it is they've been taught, that is, orally by Paul's teachings or by the letters that he wrote to them. You better stay put in that word. Don't move away from it, but continue in the faith. Paul wrote to Timothy and he tells him to do the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. It's been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that is, he's saying, listen, Timothy, you need to continue in the things you've been taught. And what he had been taught of the Scriptures, verse 15, from a child he's known the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Stay with the Word of God, Timothy. Don't move away from the truth that is from the faith. The reason why is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, so we know what to believe, and for reproof, to reveal sin in our life, for correction, that is to straighten sin out in our life, for instruction of righteousness, so we know how to live right, so that you, Timothy, the man of God, may be perfect, that is mature and complete, and thoroughly furnished or completely furnished unto all good works. Stay with the Scriptures, Timothy. That's the answer for your life. If you want to stand against the wiles of the devil, and God use you in every way that you can possibly be used, then you better continue in the Scriptures. Continue in the Word of God, so you can become everything God wants you to be. That's not only true for Timothy, but it's true for us as well. Comprehending the faith and continuing in the faith, being committed to the faith, sold out and committed to what it is that this Bible teaches. It also means contending for the faith. The word contending being a battle word, that I'm going to fight for the faith. Indeed. We find that Jude writes about that in Jude in verse number 3. In Jude verse number 3, he writes, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you or encourage you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. That is, this means not only you and I comprehending the faith and continuing in the faith and being committed to the faith, but it means I'm going to contend for the faith. That is, I'm going to battle against that which is not true. I'm going to stand for the faith, contend for the faith. I'm going to defend it against those who seek to destroy it. I'm going to defend the faith against those who seek to destroy it. Well, that's what the Bible says in Philippians 1:27. When Paul was writing to the believers at Philippi, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast." Stay put, standing fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He's talking about those, ladies and gentlemen, who are standing fast, staying put, and a church that is striving together, that is battling together, moving forward together against resistance, that is for the faith of the gospel. He's writing about contending for the faith. So if you and I are going to stand fast in the faith, it means we understand, we comprehend the faith. We understand what the faith is, the truth that's been handed down to us. And that doesn't mean we're going to continue in the faith. We're not going to give in to the secular culture and, listen to me now, the religious entertainment culture of our day, but we are going to continue in the faith. It means that we're going to be committed to the faith. It means that we are going to contend for the faith or defend the faith, and it means that we're going to communicate the faith. And that is, we're going to teach it to others. Well, that's what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said to take what's been committed to him, the faith that's been committed to him, and to commit it to others who can teach it to others. That is, we need to communicate the faith. That is, sharing the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and a biblical understanding of truth with others. Now listen, that's the goal of the church, isn't it? I mean, one of our primary objectives as New Testament believers is to be able to communicate the faith, to share with others the truth of the Word of God around us, to stand fast, to be steadfast in the faith. When Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 15, he was writing about the resurrection of Christ, that Christ has risen from the dead, and because Christ has risen from the dead, one of these days, all of us as well, believers, are going to rise from the dead with brand new bodies. And ladies and gentlemen, this corruption is no longer going to be, we're going to drop this corruption and put on incorruption. Remember that passage? Death is going to be gone. It's going to be swallowed up in victory. Remember that? Oh, listen to me, one of these days, that's going to happen. In light of that, Paul writes these words in the last verse of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." You say, what do you mean, Paul? Well, the next word says unmovable. I'm not moving at all away from the truth about the resurrection. Did you know that there were some folks in the Corinthian church that didn't believe in the resurrection? Well, that's what the Bible says at the beginning of this chapter. There were some folks that were doubting and didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. That is, a physical bodily resurrection. And Paul writes it, but if there's no resurrection, then Christ must not be risen from the dead. And if Christ isn't risen from the dead, then our faith is vain, our preaching is vain, everything we do is empty and of no value. But the reality is Christ is risen from the dead, and those who are in Christ are going to rise literally, physically, bodily from the dead at His coming. Did you know that the truth of the resurrection was under attack in the Corinthian church? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if there's one doctrine that is essential to our faith, and there are many, the resurrection is essential. The resurrection of Christ is an essential doctrine revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. The coming resurrection of the believer also is an essential doctrine revealed in the Word of God. If there is no resurrection, then, ladies and gentlemen, everything that we have believed is not true, and there's no need of us meeting together as a church any longer. It is an essential doctrine that was under attack in the Corinthian church. And listen to me now. If someone is attacking the truth of the resurrection, the bodily resurrection from the dead, then the enemy must be behind that. It must be an attack of the enemy to try to destroy the faith, to do away with the truth of the resurrection, So Paul writes to them and explains to them the reality of the resurrection. He demonstrates for them, the eyewitnesses that saw the risen Christ, and that Christ is indeed risen from the dead, and that this is an essential part of the gospel. And after he gets done writing all of that, he says, therefore be steadfast and unmovable. And what he's saying is this: you need to be steadfast about this truth of the resurrection. Don't ever, ever be moved away from this truth of the resurrection. Don't ever give up. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Which goes back to what he said before, when he said, if there is no resurrection, then all of our labor, all of our serving, it's all in vain. But he said, it's not in vain. Stand fast on the resurrection and don't stop serving. Being steadfast means this, that I'm going to keep on believing what the Bible says, and since I'm believing what the Bible says, I'm going to continue serving like the Bible demands. And I'm not going to quit. That's what it means to be steadfast in the faith. The churches of Galatia were established on Paul's first missionary journey. He wrote back to them. And ladies and gentlemen, as he wrote back to them in the book of Galatians, they were under demonic attack. And that is a devil that slipped in through false teaching and tried to destroy the faith of these believers with false teaching. Judaizers had crept in and were trying to tell these Gentile believers that they needed to be circumcised and follow the rituals of Judaism and the traditions of Judaism, or they would not be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, it's false teaching. As a matter of fact, in the first chapter of Galatians, Paul nails it down and says, listen, this gospel that you've been hearing, it is not the gospel. It is another gospel. And the idea of another there means another of a different kind. It's not the gospel at all. Even if they talk about Jesus, it's not the gospel. And so he writes to them about it. And that is, they're trying to bring them back under the bondage of the Old Testament law. And when he writes to them finally in chapter 5 and verse number 1, he writes these words. He said, stand fast. There's our word. Stand fast. Be steadfast, therefore, in the liberty of freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage that is coming back under the demands of the Old Testament law. You stand fast. The false teachers in the churches of Galatia are trying to bring them back under Old Testament law. And he's saying, listen, don't give in to the false teachers. You stand fast in the liberty of freedom that we have in Christ, and don't be brought back under that bondage. Be steadfast. We're trying to get an understanding of what this means, to be steadfast. Why, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1, we read these words. In Philippians 4 and verse number 1, therefore my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast, my dearly beloved. When Paul was writing in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17, he sent out a word of warning. He's been writing to them in 2 Peter 3 about the fact that Jesus is coming again one of these days. And in those last days when Jesus is coming again, God's people ought to be looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And he tells us that the Apostle Paul wrote about this. That is, Paul wrote about about the end times and about the second coming of Christ. And he wrote about a lot of other things, he said in verse 16, that are hard to be understood. And those that are unlearned and unstable, they rest or wrestle with that truth, as do others. Also, the other scriptures unto their own destruction said there are some people that are unstable. That is, they're not steadfast. The idea of unstable means that they are the opposite of those who are steadfast in the Word. They are not steadfast in the scriptures. They wrestle. They fight against what the Word of God says. So he tells them in verse number 17, he says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. He's talking to us. He says, you need to beware of a danger, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He said, those of you that are standing on the Word of God, that know the Word of God, that know the truth of God, you better beware. You better be watching out for the danger. You see, what is the danger? There's a roaring lion walking around. That is the devil. Operating through the world system around them, operating through the false teachers that were coming against them, trying to, ladies and gentlemen, cause them to fall from their own steadfastness. That is by the error that these wicked people are teaching. You and I should be aware of that as well. If we're going to withstand the dangers of the devil, then we got to be steadfast in the faith. Let me give you a few examples in closing. Remember reading the book of Daniel? Don't you love Daniel? Well, the reasons why I love Daniel is because he was steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. God had revealed to Daniel, as well as all the Jewish people, he had revealed to them the law that he intended for them to live by. They were living in Old Testament days under the Old Testament revelation. And Daniel and his friends were taken into captivity. That is, the Babylonians invaded, and many of them were taken into captivity, including Daniel, and they were hauled back to Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar decided that he was going to make them his servants, that is, servants in his court. And so they began to feed them. That is, I want you to feed them with my meat, and they're going to drink my wine, and we're going to give them Babylonian names, and they renamed them. And trying to get them to forget their God and forget his law and forget his name, and instead become like Babylon, like the Babylonians. And ladies and gentlemen, this man Daniel, he was steadfast. He wouldn't drink the king's wine or eat the king's meat. He knew that it was a violation of the revelation that God had given them, and he would not do it. He struck a deal with the captain of the eunuchs so that he wouldn't have to, and finally, when it was all said and done, he was doing better than those who had chosen to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. You know what he was? He was steadfast. With all of this pressure on him, living in a foreign land, he was away from home, living in a foreign land under all this pressure, ladies and gentlemen, he stood fast. He was steadfast in the faith. He had three friends, didn't he? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them. Remember when the king set up this big tower and he demanded everybody bow down and worship this image? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we can't do that. I mean, listen, the Word of God says that we can only worship Him. We can't bow down to something that's not even God. And the music began to play and everybody was supposed to bow down. And everybody's bowing down except for three men. They're standing up straight. They're not going to bow down and worship an idol. You know what they're being? Steadfast in the faith. When everybody else is abandoning the faith, these three are standing steadfast in the faith. Well, some of them saw him not bowing down. They went to the king and said, these guys aren't bowing down, these Hebrew children. He was really mad. He was ticked. He was mad. He was angry. And he decided he's going to throw them, ladies and gentlemen, in the fiery furnace. He heated up seven times. He was so mad. Those who threw them in the fiery furnace was consumed by the heat of the flames, and they threw him in the fiery furnace. They would have died instantly under normal circumstances. But we find that the king looked down on the inside of that fiery furnace, see what was going on, and he saw, didn't see three men, but he saw a fourth man, and the fourth one, he said, looks like the Son of Man. Oh, yeah. Our Savior was down there in the fire protecting them. When they finally got him out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. The only thing was burnt were the ropes that held them bound. Now, that's a story, a miraculous story. But what I want you to see is what it looks like to stand fast or firm in the faith. And that is that we believe that we worship one God and one God only. We don't bow down to an idol. And we're not going to do it for any reason, even if it means our lives. These men would not, they didn't know the Son of God was going to show up and protect them. They didn't know that. They said, even if it means our lives, we're not going to bow. That's what it means to stand firm in the faith. Do you remember whenever the devil launched his attacks against Job? Sure you do. There's a devil was the one he launched his attacks. All of Job's livestock have been stolen. All of his servants have been killed. And the reason why is because the devil, operating through people groups, attacked them. And now we find operating through the weather system. Now his children are dead, and now his body is covered with boils. And the devil's goal, his purpose, was to get him just to curse God, to quit on God, to quit serving Him. That was his whole goal. That's what he wanted more than anything in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, this man, although he was in agony, although he cursed the day he was born, he was in such pain and agony, although his wife said, why don't you go ahead and curse God and just die? Although all of that was going on, ladies and gentlemen, Job would not curse God and did not sin with his lips. You know what he was doing? Even though he was in agony and misery, grieving, he was steadfast in the faith. He remained steadfast in the faith. He sure did. Remember Peter in the early church when they were arrested and brought before the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter number 4? Well, they had just healed the man down there in the temple and he's running around praising God and that got him into trouble. And they were going around preaching that Jesus is risen from the dead and they were arrested. And after they were arrested, they were hauled before the Jewish leaders and arrested and had to give an account and said, didn't we? We're going to have to tell you to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And we find that Peter and John stood up and said, but we cannot. Whether or not we should obey you or God, you be the judge. We cannot stop preaching about Jesus. You know what that is? That's being steadfast in the faith. Under all of that political pressure, being thrown into jail, and later on in chapter 5, they're beaten and commanded again not to preach in Jesus' name, and they went on preaching and telling people about Jesus anyway. With all that pressure on them, with the threat of jail, with the threat of a beating, and listen, the Jewish leaders really want to execute them if they had their way, if they could get by with it. With that threat over them, they would not stop. The reason why is because they are steadfast in the faith. One more example, and I'll be done. It's Paul in Acts 20. The Apostle Paul was meeting with the leaders of the church at Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen. And he stops over and the leaders at Ephesus come to where he's at and in Miletus. And when they get there, he begins talking to them and encouraging them for the days ahead. And I won't deal with everything that he said, but I want to call your attention to verse number 22, where he tells them, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, how this is going to turn out, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds of afflictions abide me. That is, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'll be bound there. Going to be jailed there, but maybe that's just the Holy Spirit's way of keeping me there so I can share the gospel. But look at verse 24. Are you ready for this? But none of these things move me. The threat of arrest, jail, prison, and even execution. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Listen to this. So that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I've got one goal in life, and that's to finish my course. As he said in 2 Timothy 4, to fight the good fight of faith. And nothing is going to move me away from that. Not arrest, not threats, not prison, not even execution. I won't be moved away at all. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul's an example of what it looks like to stand fast, to be steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Now listen. If you're going to be able to resist the devil, withstand the devil, you've got to do it steadfast. You've got to be steadfast in the faith. You've got to believe the Word of God so much so that you're willing to give everything, sacrifice everything for this book, for what God, the truth that God has revealed. I stand here on this truth, and I will not be moved away from it for anybody or anything. Steadfast in the faith. If you're going to stand in the evil day, withstand in the evil day. If you're going to resist this lion that's walking around seeking whom he may devour, you've got to be steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and what you're saying to us, how you're working in us. And I pray, God, that you would teach us, grow us, help us to become everything you want us to be. I pray, Father, that you'll work in each life that is here and those who've been listening by other means, that, God, you'll help us to get steadfast, planted, rooted in the truth of your word, that we'll stand right there and not be moved away, God, from what it is that you've clearly stated and clearly said. So help us, Father. Lord, I pray for those who are here that you might increase our desire to grow in the faith, so we can stand and keep on standing. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.